As Dr. Tor mentioned, I recently finished my master's in soil and watershed science at the University of Maryland with Dr. McGrath, and also Dr. Frank Cole kind of took over as advisor when Dr. McGrath went to Kentucky. And additional authors for this study, as we're getting it together for publication, are Dr. Cradeville and Dr. Steinhilber. I'm going to tell you about my research that we conducted on soil phosphorus persistence after manure phosphorus loading. A brief introduction, since many of you know these issues inside and out. Many sub-watersheds of the Chesapeake Bay have histories of long-term manure application, and as a result, elevated soil phosphorus concentrations. We have a large poultry industry in Maryland and some dairy cattle up toward western Maryland, which contribute a lot to manure-applied soils. Policymakers require a time frame for phosphorus drawdown in order to shape environmental and policy goals. In Maryland, as in many other states, when soil test phosphorus is above a certain concentration, farmers are required to run a phosphorus site index, or have a nutrient management advisor, such as myself, run a phosphorus site index. And now we're transferring into this new phosphorus management tool, which will dictate whether or not they're permitted to apply phosphorus in these high phosphorus soils. So our objectives for this study were to understand how coastal plains soil phosphorus forms and saturation react once manure applications cease. This could be a real situation, for example, if a producer with an animal operation is told they're no longer able to apply manure to their soils. And so we'll see how that reacts. To introduce you to the plots, I had three different locations in Maryland. I had a Lower Eastern Shore location here in Poplar Hill. We had the Y location, Y Mills, here in Talbot. And then in Prince George's County, we had the Central Maryland location. Now, I analyzed each of these basically as a separate study because of several differences. We have two silt loams here in the Lower Eastern Shore in the Y, and we have a sandy loam here. They are all altisols, but with some slight differences. And one of the main differences was the phosphorus source. We had broiler litter at these two locations and dairy manure at the Central Maryland location. So the manure was applied at an equivalent total phosphorus rate of 0, 100, 200, 300, or 400 kilograms per hectare per year from 1994 to 1997. On my graphs, you'll see these values described by the total amount applied over the 4 years, so if you multiply each of those numbers by four. It was done in a randomized complete block design during that time. Now, a different study was layered over these plots in 2001 that added a forage and a grain treatment in a split plot design beginning in 2001. So, now, for the first two locations, I did not notice any interactions with the forage and grain treatments, so I was able to combine those together for the purposes of what we were looking at in the study. However, at the Central Maryland location, there were interactions in the statistics between the forage and grain treatment. So I broke those out, and you'll see those separately. The soils were sampled at 20 centimeter depth. They were archived by Dr. Cradeville and co-authors for the paper that was published in 2006. They collected samples in 2001. They also collected some more samples beyond what I'm listing here, but the samples we used were in 2004 and 2006, and then for my research, I came in and collected the samples in 2012. Now, these may seem like odd years to look at, but 2001 was the earliest available year that we had archived soils. 2012 was the latest year because that's when I came in and was collecting them for my research. And we wanted to find just kind of a glimpse at the middle. But in other data that we had received from these sites, there was a little blip, I'll say, between 2004 and 2006. So we wanted to make sure we kind of captured that time frame so we could see if we also observed that and kind of, you know, what might have been happening there. We did Malic III extractable phosphorus, iron, and aluminum on an ICP. We used University of Delaware. I conducted the extractions and then took them to Delaware to be analyzed. The same thing with the ammonium oxalate extractable phosphorus, iron, and aluminum on the ICP at Delaware. We did water extractable phosphorus, which was analyzed on colorimetrically using a latchet in our lab at Maryland. And using these data, I analyzed the degree of phosphorus saturation. We used both the Malic-3 phosphorus saturation ratio and ammonium oxalate degree of phosphorus saturation, which are calculated, of course, as follows, with the molar concentration of phosphorus, basically divided by the sum of the molar concentration of iron and aluminum. And for the ammonium oxalate DPS, we used a standard alpha value of 0.5, which we got from other literature, and for that calculation. So my statistics were done there were four reps at each site. I treated the replicate as a random effect, and then did a mixed model ANOVA with the adjustment for Tookie's test for each of the significant differences by manure treatment level and then also by year. So I compared year to year, and I compared treatment to treatment for each of the dependent variables. I'll start with the Malic-3 results. Now you're going to see very similar trends throughout all of these. Of course, there's slightly different concentrations based on the site, but you'll see the same kind of trends. The lower eastern shore data just seem to be just so clean and beautiful compared to the others always. I'm not quite sure why. But as you can see, all of the treatments are very visible still, very clearly defined, and the last point is 15 years after we've ceased phosphorus applications. So all of their nutrients were continuing to be applied that are required for plant growth. Liming was done. But just no more phosphorus, and this is what we've observed. Now, all treatments did significantly decline between 2001 and 2012. However, between 2006 and 2012, we're noticing a decreased rate of decline. The slope is lower. And I've done some preliminary regression analyses on these, and I'm looking at it. It fits an exponential curve very well with an R squared of 0.6 to 0.7 for most of the sites and treatments. So it's definitely kind of leveling out at the, you know, as the years go on. It's not really decreasing as quickly. We had, of course, very similar effects at the Y research, which is on the other side here. And, we're noticing overall decrease, but less of a rapid decrease between the last 6 years. This is the Central Maryland locations for Malic-3. We have the forage treatment on the left and the grain treatment on your right. And now in the grain treatment, it's interesting, the forage treatment, you know, you see kind of the same trend as before, but the grain treatment actually had a little bit less of a change overall. A few treatments, the lower two treatments, didn't actually significantly decrease over this period from 2001 to 2012. This was shown in Dr. Cradiville's paper that I mentioned, where the forage and grain was kind of layered over this study, as forage is better at phytoremediating phosphorus than grain. So this makes sense that we're not seeing as much decrease, especially in the lower concentrations the lower treatment values for the grain crops. Now I'm just going to put them all up here for the phosphorus saturation ratio because it's going to be very similar between all the sites. You can see once again, all the treatments are very clearly visible still 15 years after no phosphorus has been added. There was no significant decline in the phosphorus saturation between 2006 and 2012 in almost all of the cases between for any treatment. So, and actually at the Lower Eastern Shore, we're really not seeing much of a decrease from 2001 to 2012. To move on to the ammonium oxalate results. So once again, all of the treatments, except for a few convergent, some of the adjacent treatment rates are kind of converging here and there. But overwhelmingly, you can still see the differences in the treatments. And there was no significant decline in, that's supposed to say ammonium oxalate, DPS. But anyway, between 2001 and 2012 at the Lower Eastern Shore and at the Central Maryland for the grain treatment for that 12-year period. And then once again, little to no decline for any location or treatment between 2006 to 2012. And now you can kind of see here what I was talking about with the 2004 and 2006 and how there's kind of like a little, it almost increases here or it doesn't quite follow what you would expect to be a normal line. And what I found out was they applied lime during that time in between those years. So I think the lime application might have caused that to occur. Can't prove that, but that's what we're speculating. I found the water extractable phosphorus results to be quite interesting to compare to these other results. because, you know, while you see definitely a significant decline from 2001 to 2012, you're once again observing this plateau. Now, of course, remember that the first year that we're looking at this is 2001, and the last manure treatment had been applied in 97. So we missed, of course, a bunch of the water extractable phosphorus that would have been coming off during, you know, the time immediately after the last manure application. But it's, you can still see the trend here, and it's following a very clear exponential curve. And, you know, what we're really observing here is are these long-term changes in water extractable phosphorus that are caused by the historic manure applications. So they're being fed by these other pools of phosphorus, and the manure treatment has actually changed the soil in such a way that it's feeding water extractable phosphorus at basically five different rates based on the manure treatment still 15 years later. This is the Central Maryland location. Again, for both of these, we're noticing the same type of trend. So my conclusions are that May Lake 3 extractable phosphorus exhibited a slowing decline despite no further phosphorus applications, with all of those treatments still very visible. Fields that received the highest two manure treatment rates remained above the 150 fertility index value, which corresponds to 142 milligrams per kilogram phosphorus. That's the regulatory threshold in Maryland, where above that value you need to apply, you need to use the phosphorus site index or phosphorus management tool in order to apply more phosphorus. Now this is important, and I want to look more into the regression analyses for this so I can kind of get more of an estimate as to how long that's going to take for each of these treatments to really get below that threshold, and then also the agronomic threshold, which we have as 100 FIV. The phosphorus saturation remained fairly constant with little decline over the course of the study. Of course, you know, iron and aluminum aren't changing very much, and it makes sense given the fact that the phosphorus is kind of leveling out, that this would be the case. Water extractable phosphorus appears to be fed from other pools of phosphorus at a fairly constant rate, particularly between the last two points in time of the study, 2006 and 2012, when little decrease is observed. Now, additionally, in 2014, I conducted 7-point phosphorus sorption isotherms on all of the 2001 and 2012 soils. These data are still being analyzed, and we're really interested in these results because with this data, we can determine an actual alpha value instead of that estimated 0.5 alpha value that we used to get a better picture of the phosphorus saturation. And preliminary results do indicate that the manure rates influenced the S max or the maximum sorption of phosphorus in these soils. So the manure really contributed to a long-term changes despite not being applied for so many years. Now, other research has been done on these sites. Nicole Fiorellina published a paper early this year in January 2017, which covered crop uptake of the phosphorus on these sites. So you can kind of look at it from the crop side in that paper. And then also I know Dr. Schober is doing some work on these at the University of Delaware. She actually has hold of these soils right now. And I believe she's doing some fractionations on them, but I'm not certain. So that's it, and thank you for your time.
Let's ask several questions. No, just one quick question.
Thank you for your interesting talk. You mentioned just at the end there, crop balances. Roughly what load of phosphorus has been removed annually by the crops?
So in her paper, she presented it in percentages. So I'm not sure of the actual load, quantitatively. So I'd have to go back and review her paper to remember all of the percentages that she used, but she, I know she did almost like a comparative analysis between the treatments, and I don't know that it included the actual total amount, but she could probably provide you that data if you're interested. Sorry, I don't have more information there.
Thanks,
thank you.
Thank you.